Amen, and may that be our experience. When I go away, don't go often away, and don't know what your pastor does. I'm sure he doesn't do too often. He's saying, don't say anything. But I love good singing. Love good music, and I love good singing. It's terrible to come out to the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day and not to see the people of God enjoy the singing of His praises. So I think that the music this morning certainly helps us to sing. And that has encouraged me to come out tonight again. Anyway, not just because I'm the preacher, but I want to hear the men's group. I'm looking forward to that. And let me say that it's a great privilege to be here to share with you over this weekend. It's great to renew fellowship with your pastor. We both grew up just a few miles from each other, really, Cope and Cookstown. And so it's good to be here to share with you. And I trust that what the Lord has given to me for this morning and again this evening will be a blessing to us and also a challenge to all our hearts. So turn with me just now, two short readings. The first is found in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a very familiar psalm, I'm sure, for many of us. And we're going to read the first 14 verses and just then a few verses in Lamentations chapter 3. But turn with me first of all to Psalm 103 and reading at verse 1. The psalmist David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." And then just a few verses, turning over to the book of Lamentations. And I want to read in Lamentations 3 and verse 21. Lamentations 3:21, the prophet says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." Amen. May God bless the reading of these two short portions this morning. For the time that remains today, I want to turn our thoughts to these verses I've read to you in Lamentations chapter 3. And I just want to remind you for these moments of the faithfulness of God. You and I meet over this weekend. It's a harvest weekend. It's a harvest Thanksgiving, and as the people of God, we have so much on a daily basis to rejoice in. Not because we are faithful, not because we are good, or not because we deserve anything from the hand of God, but today because God is so faithful. The title of this book, Lamentations, aptly describes what the book is really all about. Some commentators refer to this book as a series of funeral laments. And if you read through the book, you'd understand something about that. You may remember that on one occasion, as the Lord Jesus Christ came down off the Mount of Olives and he looked down over the city of Jerusalem, we read in Scripture how it says of him as he spoke, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but you would not." And he wept over the city. He wept because he could see all that lay ahead of the people at that time. But you know, years before the Lord Jesus ever wept over the city, so too did the prophet Jeremiah. And when you read through this book, you'll see the prophet sobbing and you'll hear him sighing as he considers the destruction of Jerusalem. His heart was broken. He expresses the grief of a broken heart. The phrases used, all the pictures that are presented to us, give a glimpse into the heart of the prophet at that time. You see, the city of Jerusalem had once been a great city. Now it had been plundered by its enemies. It lies in ruins. The city that once enjoyed so much splendor and the presence of God, had it all changed. The glory had departed from the people, and the people were wondering what was happening to them. Of course, Jeremiah reminded them about their sin. But instead of listening to him, they listened to the false prophets. They continued to rebel. And if you read through Lamentations chapter 2, it's a terrible picture of where sin brought the people. Sin brought destruction to the city, brought disgrace to the people, brought discouragement to the prophet, and finally brought the judgment from the hand of God. All of these things clearly portrayed for us within this little book. And all the people could do at that time was to simply trust in the purposes and in the promises of God. And despite everything that was happening amongst the people at that time, and despite everything that was going on within the heart of the prophet who was brokenhearted, he was able to say three simple words. He said, "God is faithful." God is faithful. How sweet are those words. Beloved, I want to encourage your heart today and mine. And I want to remind you of five things regarding the faithfulness of God. Now, Ronnie said we were breaking bread about 12:30 or so. Don't you let that annoy you. I can go through five things quite quickly. But I just want to bring them to you today, because so often as Christians, we look out into a world of trouble and turmoil. We see things going on we can't understand. We pray about things and sometimes it doesn't work out the way we pray. We plead before the throne of grace and somehow, sometimes God does it differently and we can't understand that. But you know, despite everything that's happening today, God is still the same, unchanging, faithful God. So here are five things. Number one, God is faithful in his person. In other words, faithfulness is an attribute or a characteristic of God. When we speak about an attribute, we're simply saying that the word attribute is the property or characteristic that is attributed to something or someone. And whenever you and I go through the Scriptures, we see these attributes attributed to God. We thought of one last night when we read in 1 John 4. God is love. God is holy. God is just. We could mention so many different attributes today, but the fact of the matter is this, that God is faithful. And you ought to rejoice in that this morning. God is faithful. And when we say that he's faithful, we're saying that faithfulness is something that is totally consistent with God's character and conduct. To say today that God is unfaithful is something that doesn't even bear thinking about. In fact, it is impossible. Sometimes you and I are not as faithful as we would want to be. Sometimes we make promises that we don't keep.
Sometimes we promise God so much even in the work of God, and then after a period of time our faith weakens and our faith dwindles, and sometimes our commitment disappears, and all the statements we made about being faithful, well, unfortunately we're not as faithful as we should be. But when the Word of God says that God is faithful, He's faithful in every way, He's faithful all the time, all the time. You may remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he penned that last little letter of his 2 Timothy, and he's in a prison cell and he's awaiting martyrdom. And he has already spoken to Timothy about the perilous times that shall come. And this young man in the midst of his ministry is feeling the heat of the battle. And the Apostle, knowing that soon he himself will depart, as our brother said this morning, he had finished his course, he had kept the faith. Now he's looking forward to a crown and he's looking forward to the presence of Christ. But he turns around and he says to Timothy, whom many people view as being a little bit timid, he said, "Look, Timothy, you keep your eyes on God." He said this, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. For He cannot deny Himself." And Paul's just not saying to young Timothy, "Listen, Timothy, faithfulness is not just one of God's glorious perfections. But the God in whom you trust, who has been faithful in the past, will be faithful in the midst of perilous days, and He'll be faithful in the future. So stay focused on your faithful God." Was Moses not saying the same thing when in Deuteronomy 7 he looks back with gratitude to every way that God's hand had led his people? Sometimes in their journey through the wilderness their faith was fickle. Sometimes they blamed God for everything that went wrong in their experience. Sometimes they were prepared to stone their leader because he didn't do what the people wanted. And when it comes to Deuteronomy 7, Moses looks back and he describes his God as the faithful God. The one who had delivered them from bondage was the one who would bless them when they reached the land of Canaan. And God would not let them down, and God could not let them down, because God is faithful. Maybe you're sitting here today and maybe you're saying to yourself, "Well, you know something, Pastor, I wish it was like that for me, but I don't feel that today. Things I've prayed about, the answers haven't come. Things that I've shared with God that are breaking my heart, and somehow they haven't changed." Maybe you're even got to the stage in life where you're saying to yourself, "Does God really care about me?" Well, I can assure you that He does. And if you look back over your journey through life, from first in His grace He reached you and then redeemed you, remember He said to you, "Do not be afraid, I have redeemed you, you are mine." You're mine. And if you are Christ this morning, I can assure you that God will not let you down. We'll sing soon as we close today, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." God is faithful in His person. Remember, secondly, God is faithful to His purposes. You see, if God is ever faithful and remains unchanging, you and I can be very confident in this ever-changing world in which we live. Some people say to me when I go out to visit, they'll say, "Pastor, the world's in a terrible mess, isn't it?" By and large, it is. And I think that not only are the people of God today now almost in the minority, but everything seems to be going against our Christian thought. We sit and we look at our world, and then we look at nearer home, and we see so many things being brought in that are contrary to the Word of God. And we look up and we say, "Well, now, what on earth is happening? Where is God in the midst of this?" I'll tell you where He is. He is where He always has been. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. And though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. Sometimes we fail to remember that. And sometimes we fail to remember that God is faithful in everything. And that he will be faithful to all that he has planned and purposed for this world in which we live. Sometimes our circumstances are such we lose sight of God. We think God has forgotten about us. I can assure you that he hasn't. We might lose sight of God, but God never loses sight of us. And he knows exactly what he's doing. You see, God has a purpose for the world that he has created. He has a purpose for everything that is going on at this present time. You say, but Pastor, I don't understand that. Sometimes I don't either. But I do know this, that God will be faithful to his plans and his purposes because God worketh out all things after the counsel of his own will. That gives me hope. That gives me confidence. That gives me great assurance. Beloved, in the Word of God, there are many things that God has decreed. They'll all be brought to pass, every single one of them, just as God has decreed them. God is under no man's control. God is the one who has everything under his control. He has a purpose in everything, whether great or small in our estimation. God has a purpose in everything, whether it seems good or evil. And whether we understand it or not, God is a God of order. He is sovereign over all of creation, and every creature is subject to him. I don't have time to do it today, but you do it when you go home. And you sit down and you take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And Solomon reminds us there's a time and a purpose for everything under the sun. And not only that, but that God controls everything and has a purpose in everything. You might say to me, but it doesn't look like that today. I mean, after all, Pastor, you look at this and you look at that and you look at this and the other thing in society. Why? Well, sometimes I have to hold my hands up and say, I don't know. But I do know this, that I will continue to focus on the God who knows everything. And one day he will bring everything to completion for his own glory. He can bring beauty out of all that happens. He's working with eternity in mind. You and I are creatures of time, and we can stand on Scripture and say this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God is faithful. Faithful in his person. Faithful in his purposes. Here's a third thing. God is faithful to his promises. In my first church, I remember when I was finding my feet spiritually, and out in visitation, and your pastor, I'm sure, will relate to this too. Sometimes you go into a home where you want the minister, and every time you go, the person actually ministers to you. And I used to go and visit a little lady. She's in the glory today, and every time I'd visit her, before I'd go, she'd say to me, Pastor, just before you go, I want to give you a little promise today and I want to pray with you. She was a godly wee saint. And so she'd walk over to the little desk there beside her television and she'd lift it down, this little box. It was her promise box. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a promise box or not. You might not even believe them, but I'll tell you this. She would have gone over to the promise box and she lifted out a little scroll. And she opened the scroll and written on the scroll was one of the great promises of Scripture. And she had them all numbered along with the dates. And she'd say to me, Pastor, this is the promise that God gave me today. She read it, rolled it up, back in the box, and every single day she claimed the promises of God. That a wonderful thing, Bubba. We have the promises of God to claim. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Why? Because God is faithful. There is nothing that God has said by way of promise that will not come to pass. And you and I could take the rest of the morning to think about that. You see, you go right back to the very first book in the Bible and you go to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are deceived in their guilt. They run away. They hide themselves from God, but there's nowhere to hide. God summoned them. He searched them. Cursed the serpent, cursed the ground, drove them from the garden in the place of communion, declared war on Satan and gave his first promise. A promise concerning a coming Redeemer. Satan, we're told, would bruise Christ's heel, but Christ would bruise Satan's head and defeat him, and we know that he did. And here's what the apostle says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. Why? Because he had given a promise of a coming Redeemer. One who would come from heaven to earth, and he would come to go to the cross at Calvary and there on the cross to take your sin and mine. He would die and he'd be buried, and on the third day he'd rise again from the dead, ascend back to heaven, sit down at the Father's right hand in the place of supreme authority, and today a Savior who's able to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God by him. Beloved, God keeps his promises. That's just one of them. If time permitted, I could take so many more, but one thing is absolutely sure, that the Bible is full of exceeding great and precious promises. And you and I ought to take them to heart and recite them and underline them in our Bibles, and we ought to stand upon them. You see, sometimes you and I face situations in life and in our home and at our workplace, and sometimes even within the life of the local church. And it's only the promises of God that keep us going. I remember starting out many years ago, going out from the Cookstown Church. I used to be a butcher in the local factory in Cookstown. And I remember when God called Christine and me to the work, I remember sitting down on a Monday. And Christine said to me, John, I know that God has called us. How on earth are we ever going to survive? Coming out with two young children, 1 week's pay on the Friday, thinking about the rest of the years of the ministry and training, all those things flooding our minds. Knock came to the door and a pastor arrived and he said to me, a lady said you had to have that as a little gift because God had answered her prayer and she wanted to give something. Another knock came, a lady come and gave me a Bible inscribed inside, but my God shall provide all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By the end of the work, the end of the week, everything had changed because God is faithful. And I leaned on that promise, and I'm leaning on that promise to this day, and God has never let me down once. God is faithful. And you and I must stand upon his promises. We often sing it, don't we? Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. How? By standing on the promises of God. Faithful in his person, faithful to his purposes, faithful to his promises, fourthly, faithful in his provision. There's a lovely verse in Scripture that says in Psalm 145:16, that God opens up his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. God is the great provider and he upholds no good thing from them that love him. Remember Philippians 4:19 I quoted, but my God shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know today sometimes it's tough. And I know we're living in days when there are so many financial pressures. There's a bleak economic picture. Sometimes we hear about mass unemployment, all sorts of things. But God is the great provider. He blesses us, and He has blessed us so much, and He blesses us in order that we might be a blessing to others. Stories told of an old lady. She lived on the Scottish border. She had lost her husband and she was left destitute. But each day she would bow her head and she would ask God to provide for what she needed. Never once did she find Him to fail. In her village there were a group of young men. They tried to make her life miserable because she was a Christian, and often they'd come to her home, and as she prayed, they'd throw stones at her house and shout abuse at her. And one day they came across, the window was open, and they saw the old lady down on her knees and she was praying. She said to God, "God, I'm out of food and I need a loaf." And of course the young men heard it. They ran down to the shop and they bought a loaf and they came, and while she was still on her knees, they threw the loaf down the chimney. The old lady received it gratefully, bowed her head, thanked God for it, and went to the table and she cut a slice when one of the door opened and one of the boys ran in and said to her, "God didn't give you that, missus. We heard you praying and we went and we bought it for you." "No," said the old lady, "God sent it even though the devil brought it." You see, that's the way God does it. Faithful in every way. In His person, to His purposes, to His promises and His provision. And finally, God is faithful to His people. You see, God's faithfulness to you and me cannot be doubted. Our experience of life has taught us that God has never failed and never will. In Lamentations chapter 5, if you read through that little book, you'll see these people of old, they lost so much and they discovered to their cost the awfulness of sin. They lost their joy in the Lord. They lost their freedom from their enemies. They lost their crown because the truth was they forgot who God was. Do you know what greatly encouraged the heart of the prophet? That even though they were in a terrible state, God knew all about them. That even though they'd been chastened, God still loved them. And even in the midst of a hopeless situation, there was still hope in God. Listen to these words again. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." Is that where your hope is today and mine? As life all around us seems to be ever-changing, as we see so much happening that we just don't understand, is our hope in God today? You see, sometimes we talk about the political situation and we put our hope and our trust in politicians. Waste of time. Futile exercise. Sometimes other things happen and we put our hope in somebody else who lets us down, and it causes us to wonder about them. When you and I put our hope in God today, we put our hope in someone who will never let us down. Someone who's always there. Someone who can minister to us continually. Someone in a changing world who is unchanging. And a God who is always and ever faithful. We need to get our eyes on Him today. Does that mean we shouldn't pray about the world? No, we should. Does that mean we shouldn't obey those in authority? No, we should, so long as what they do does not clash with our Christian convictions. But over and above all of that, we need to focus on Him, because God is always and God is ever faithful. He'll not let His people die.
Let's bow for a moment quietly in prayer. Father, as we bow in your presence just now, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We lament the fact that, like so often your people of old, our faith is fickle. And sometimes our walk is wayward, and sometimes, our Father, we get our eyes on other people, when today we must, in an ever-changing world, get our eyes afresh on our God, who is always and ever faithful. Father, we thank you that though we don't even deserve the least of your mercy, that your mercies to us are new every morning. So we pray today that we might have our hope in you. We know, our Father, that whatever goes on in our lives and whatever happens around us, that God is still on the throne. And we know that you will remember your own. So help us today as your children to keep looking up. Looking up unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And help us, our Father, to trust you implicitly in every situation, and to rest on your promises. Bless your word to us, and thus, as we seek to live in this world, we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn, number 60. And I've quoted this hymn already. It's a great hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Let's stand and sing number 60.
Thank you.
Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We praise you for everything that you are to us every single day. We thank you we can stand upon your promises and trust your wisdom. And we thank you, our Father, that we can put our hand in yours by faith today and trust you for the days to come. Bless those who leave us just now. Take them to their homes in safety. Bless those of us who wait around the table to remember the Lord in his own appointed way. And our Father, we give you thanks for all your goodness to us in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.